It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello! Welcome to the Midwest Madness Podcast, where we talk all things Big 12 hoops. I am your host, Robbie Triano, and boy, do we have a monster show, because in the span of one day, the Big 12 took over the college basketball world with some unbelievable news. Unbelievable news. I'm talking one will change the entire way we view the Big 12 conference, and one, will it change how we view a Big 12 coach? I don't think so, but massive news today. The first thing that happened in the morning on Wednesday was Kansas self-imposes a four-game suspension for Bill Self. There's a lot of other details with this, and we will get into it with CJ Moore. He covers all things college basketball for The Athletic. He was gracious enough to share some time, so we will get into that, but we'll do it after this because I think this news has such a bigger impact on what the conference and what the Big 12 is moving forward. From Pete Thamel, sources, Gonzaga in talks with the Big 12 about joining the conference. That right there, I know he's not Woj, but that right there, it's a bomb. That's a bomb there right by Pete Thamel. This story right here, when it comes to the thing you and I love at home, college basketball, this story is massive. Massive. And I have my whole notebook full of things that we are going to discuss and talk about, because this impacts the conference in so many ways, what the future of it will look like, what it will do to impact other conferences, how college basketball is viewed moving forward. We'll get into all that, but first let's start to piece what exactly Pete Thamel is saying here. And I just want you to know, these are sources. Gonzaga is not in the Big 12, so hold on to your hats or whatever you want to hold on to. Let's get into this, because this is huge. Gonzaga's athletic director met in person with Brett Yormark last week as part of a broader discussion about the Zags joining the Big 12. The discussions are part of the possibility of a seismic move of the basketball powerhouse leaving the West Coast Conference for a power conference. If this were to happen, the Big 12 is the best conference in college basketball. End the conversation. It's just a fact. The fact is, if they get Gonzaga, the Big 12 is the best conference in all of college basketball. It's a fact. For that reason alone, you add Gonzaga. And from a pure entertainment aspect, you add Gonzaga. You add one of the best teams in college basketball year in and year out. Yes, they play in a weaker conference, but they have the talent. Mark Few is an incredible head coach. Every year you see them in March. You see them as a number one seed. And then you bring that to the Big 12. The reason we care about college sports is to be entertained. You're telling me that Gonzaga, Kansas twice a year, Gonzaga, Baylor doesn't intrigue you? You tell me the level of coaching in this league, you get to see Bob Huggins versus Mark Few. I mean, like, this is just an incredible ad by Brett Yormark, and also just a symbol or a statement by Brett Yormark saying, you know what? We know that football is the thing that makes money here, but here in the Big 12, we really value college basketball, and I think what he can do with this is own all of that. He can own the college basketball landscape and be like, when you want to see college basketball, when the football season's over and you're just sitting in your home in February, turning into March, January, there's no other sport really on besides the weekend and playoffs, come to Big 12 basketball. We will dominate. We will entertain you more than anyone else does. So from a basketball perspective, I mean, this move couldn't make more sense, but life is more than just a basketball fit. why exactly is the Big 12 getting a school on the West Coast? I mean, geography-wise, it makes no damn sense. Like, we look at, I did the math. From Spokane to Morgantown, West Virginia, if you were to make that drive, it'd be 34 hours, 2,290 miles. I don't know if you're going to make that drive, so you might fly. Well, I look at the flights. If you were to take a flight from Morgantown, West Virginia to Spokane, there is no direct flight, and it would take about 10 hours at the minimum. Okay, so you have that. And then you have Spokane, Washington to Orlando, Florida, which will be the home of UCF. If you want to drive that, it's 42 hours. My point is, this is out of the way. Geography-wise, it makes no damn sense, because if you're a school in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, it doesn't make sense. All rules kind of went out the window about geography when the Big Ten took UCLA and USC. I think at that point, the gloves kind of came off from everyone, said, okay, if geography really doesn't matter here, and we are just going strictly on entertainment, and screw the student-athlete, I don't care if they have to make a four-hour flight, they get a good life, okay? That's what these commissioners are saying. Like, okay, we don't care about the travel. That means nothing to us. We all have private jets when it comes to these teams. They're going to be just fine. Yes, they might be jet-lagged, but is that really a huge issue? And it's just interesting because, going back to this story, this is where it gets interesting. Both the Pac-12 and the Big East, which, I don't know if you know, but Gonzaga is not on the East Coast. So if we're really going to do that, then geography really doesn't mean jack. But for Brett Yormark to do this, I get it. So back to that story. Yormark has been open about the league's desire to expand. He has spoken openly about adding a fourth time zone and programs with national cachet. It's a nice word. The Big 12 and its television partners, ESPN and Fox, are near agreement on a six-year extension that includes a significant pay raise. How potential buyout would trickle down to a school without football is uncertain. So we don't exactly know how much this will impact the TV deal, but I don't think it's going to hurt. I also don't know how it's going to impact how much money they're getting from the Big 12. That we'll find out later, but that's down the road. Let's focus on what's happening here. But the idea of Gonzaga playing Kansas, Baylor, BYU, and Texas Tech in basketball league play would be attractive to television partners. I think I agree. Now, what is another conference right now that is in the midst of a TV negotiation? And if you're thinking about the same conference that I'm thinking about, I think they're kind of looking to expand, and what places in their area. Spoiler alert, it's the Pac-12, and Spokane, Washington is in the region. It would make sense. This is such an unbelievable move by Brett Yormark because he is limiting the chances for the Pac-12 to make moves to expand. And if he does that, and they go to their TV companies, and let's say an Amazon or anything like that, and they say, you know what, we can expand, we're going to stick with the teams that we have, even though we don't have UCLA or USC, what number would you give us? And then they look at the number, and then they show it to, let's say, Oregon or Washington or Arizona or Utah or Arizona State. And you just saw what the Big 12 is getting. That's a good number. That is a number that can keep your sports departments alive where you don't have to be cutting things. That is enough where you can hire good coaches. You're not in the realm of the SEC and the Big Ten. That is just a fact. We are not playing with those numbers. But if you're telling me if without UCLA and USC, and if you are limited your chances to expand, like what exactly is the Pac-12 going to get right now? They're not going to take a team from the Big 12. They just got their TV deal. They just showed what they had to their schools, saying, you know what? We are stabilized. These are the numbers, and it can only get better if we expand. And the Pac-12 is like, okay, well, we can go get Amazon and make $40 million per school. That'd be great. But when it comes to the long-term deal, that is not getting you more eyeballs. In fact, I think it's restricting you. Fox and ESPN are on every TV, every cable. Do you have the ESPN app at home? I know you do. Do Do you have the Fox Sports app at home? No, but you probably do. It's more accessible than finding the Amazon. And also, you have to now pay for Amazon Prime if you were to do that. Apple Plus is a lot less. But do you trust that? Do you trust this place that is less accessible? You're going to have to watch it on your phone. If you don't have a smart TV at home, well, you're going to have to get one or get one of those Roku sticks. It's just easier and more accessible to be with ESPN Fox. That is the better move moving forward. And I don't think those teams in the Pac-12 are going to be excited about making money in the short term, but also not a good future moving forward. So for Brett Yormark to take a team like Gonzaga that would only help the Pac-12's chances on keeping these teams, that's a boss move. It really is such a boss move by them. Now, there's something else about this I kind of want to put my tinfoil hat on, because I have a conspiracy theory about this whole thing. Because I talked about earlier how Gonzaga's been in talks before. It's not like the Big 12 is the only person they've talked to. They talked to the Pac-12 and the Big East. But why is it now just news when the Big 12 is involved? Why is it just news? Huh. You know, they've talked to other people, but then Pete Thamel didn't report on that. I mean, they've had conversations before about leaving, but now it's the Big 12. I'm just saying, huh? Like, why is this happening? Why is it happening with them? And I think it's interesting because I really do think this is a direct move by Brett Yormark to get the people talking about this. If you are getting people now excited in the national media to be like, this is going to be awesome for the Big 12. Basketball sense, I think this makes so much sense for Gonzaga to join the Big 12 than any other conference. Unless they want to say the Big 10, but I just don't think that makes a lot of sense for the Big 10 to add that and then split that pie even more. I don't think they're interested on that, and I don't think that really fits with what they're going for. I think going to the Big 12 is a huge move, and it also just cements how Brett Yormark wants to make this the best basketball conference. Now, talking about if this will impact the Big 12's recent media rights deal, this was said in the story. The notion of Gonzaga potentially joining the Big 12 was brought up by the conference with its television partners in a manner in conversations about the league's new television deal recently, but the potential addition had nothing to do with the Big 12's final deal. It was hinted at, said a person familiar with the Big 12 deal. It came up in a quiet manner. It's positive, but it's not a financial game changer. That's what I'm saying. Like, I do think this is more of a power move than anything. If you are limiting the Pac-12's chances, you get a chance to steal more from them, which is helping you. Do you understand? Like, Brett Yormark is playing chess, not checkers, with everything he's done so far as the Big 12 commissioner. And everything he's done has not only to been to help the league, but to also get rid of the Pac-12 or break that thing up. He sees an enemy. He's been aggressive. He sees someone who's beaten down, and he's not afraid to kick them even harder. It's honestly, like, kind of brutal. But wouldn't you want that in a commissioner, to add this to your conference, to make sure that your conference is in the best place moving forward? Now, when it comes to the product of Big 12 basketball, I think we know how good it's going to be. But with someone with an NBA background like Brett Yormark, I really don't think he wants to just compete with the rest of college basketball. I think he wants to compete with the NBA. Don't you want to see Gonzaga come into the league? When we talk about Gonzaga, we say, yeah, they're really good, but how would they be in a big conference? Okay, well, they can show you in the Big 12. That is something that will get you to be like, huh, I wonder what they're doing. And then you watch it, and then you will get hooked. And that's what will happen. That's what he's banking on. He's banking people right now to say, this is a great storyline. Let me check it out. Oh my God, this is awesome. And this has a reach outside of the Big 12, and I think that's been the Big 12's biggest problem. What is making you care about the programs in the Big 12 if you're not a fan of one of these schools? And we're seeing the direction that Brett Yormark wants to take, and he says it a lot, and I think the people who care about Big 12 basketball or the Big 12 as a whole have mocked this for him, but he said this: younger, hipper, cooler. Adding Gonzaga is that. That's cool. That's really, really, really cool. And how exactly do you appeal to a younger audience? Well, did anyone watch Gonzaga basketball last year? No, I'm saying before the tournament. No, you didn't, because, you know, they didn't play anyone interesting. Well, I'm sure you saw a clip from Chet Holmgren. How did you see that? You saw that from social media. You saw that spread around. If you want to attract an audience that is younger, hip, or cooler, who has a phone connected to their pocket or in their hand at every given moment, and they are on social media, getting a school like Gonzaga only helps. So this news just honestly fires me up so much, the thought of adding Gonzaga. And can we make it like tomorrow? Like, can we please have Gonzaga in a league with Texas and Oklahoma? Like, for that amount of time that they are here, and then you add in these four teams, and oh yeah, Gonzaga. Who wouldn't want to watch that just based on the storyline? There are a lot of questions on how this is going to happen. Mostly importantly, will this happen? I'm confident it will happen because I trust who I have in Brett Yormark. I trust in the narrative that is currently being created. When you give this story to Pete Thamel and you blast it out, you having your media rights deal done is beating the Pac-12 to get Gonzaga into the conference. You can say, all right, here, sign this now. You can know what you're going to get. You see the money we are getting. Or you can wait and make the risky move about the Pac-12 that you may not make the best offer. Brett Yormark is playing hardball. He's saying pick. Pick right now or wait, and you may be in a worse spot. I think Gonzaga wants to come to the Big 12. It makes the most sense business-wise. It makes the most sense basketball-wise. Geography? Hell no. The last time I checked, geography doesn't pay your bills. Geography doesn't pay your coaches. Geography doesn't pay your university. Geography doesn't do that. Money does. Being really good at something does. It makes sense for Gonzaga to come to the Big 12. Please make it happen, Brett Yormark. And we'll find out more later. But that wasn't the only news coming out of the Big 12 today. There's a lot more, and it has to do with Kansas and Bill Self. But first, we got to pay the bills here and talk about our good friends at homefieldapparel.com. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, I can make a guess, or I can infer that you're probably a college sports fan, and you probably want to wear something that represents your college team. Well, go to homefieldapparel.com. They do that. They give some of the most awesome designs for your team and puts it on a t-shirt, sweatshirt, whatever you want. It is awesome, and you get to represent your brand the best way. It is so comfortable. They have every single Big 12 school available. Yes, even you, New 4, if you're listening to this. Yes, even you. So if you love the Big 12, if you love representing your school, and you love wearing comfortable things, go to homefieldapparel.com and let me tell you how I can help. Our promo code MIDWEST12, if you use that on your first order, you get 15% off. A deal so crazy, I need to say again, promo code MIDWEST12 for 15% off your first order. I'm just trying to help, okay? You love your school. You love wearing good clothes. Go to homefieldapparel.com. All right, let's talk about the Kansas thing, because it is impactful for the Big 12, and also this story has been going on for multiple years because of the sanctions that happened with them and whatever happened with Adidas, and it's just been a dark cloud over the Kansas program for multiple years, and yet they still won a national championship, which is kind of remarkable. But the news from today is that Kansas has self-imposed a 4-game suspension over head coach Bill Self. That's the headline. It's going to happen. He's going to miss that game against Duke, but it is not going to impact the Big 12 season because it's just the 4 first games of the year. It also, a 4-game suspension on their assistant, Curtis Townsend, a bunch of other sanctions, including the reduction of 4 official visits during the academic year and in 2023-24, and the reduction of 3 total scholarships in men's basketball to be distributed over the next 3 years. Now, it's interesting here about what is happening, but I'm not that smart. But I am smart enough to know to reach out to someone who is smart and that is CJ Moore. He works for The Athletic. He did the reporting on this very thing. He spent some time with me to explain it, break it down, why exactly Kansas did it, and here's the interview with him. Well, when I first got my guest, we had a completely different plan for what we'd be talking about because, you know, the Big 12 season kicks off on Monday, and there's so much to touch on, but sometimes life happens and you have to just crumple up the notes and throw them behind you. But fortunately, there's not a better person to talk to than The Athletic CJ Moore about what exactly is happening out of Lawrence, Kansas today. And if you're not aware, Kansas suspended Bill Self for the first four games of the season. And a lot of other things. CJ, basketball season's here. How are you?
I could use another few weeks, but I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there.
So with this news today, it's very odd because earlier in the summer they held Bill Self, you know, they took him off the road recruiting-wise, and today they get this news. It's not an NCAA decision. It's not anything like that. My first question is, why is Kansas doing this?
They're basically just trying to get the NCAA to speed up and get this resolved. And, I mean, their hope is that these penalties, the NCAA will be like, okay, that's great. We agree with you. We don't feel the need to penalize you anymore. Let's all move on with our lives. In an ideal world for Kansas, that would be the case. We'll see what happens. I mean, I don't expect this to be solved anytime soon. I don't think they'll know this season. I would think maybe the spring, but you know, Kansas is not next in line as far as its case getting resolved. So, you know, really Kansas is just trying to get out ahead of it and, you know, be like, hey, we realize there's some wrongdoing on our part. Here's what we think the penalties should be. And hopes the IARP accepts that.
So this has been happening for Kansas and has been kind of a cloud over the program for a couple of years, but they win the national championship last year. But now they lose three total scholarships over the next 3 years, and it seems like this is finally happening. I know you said you don't know a timeline. Do we expect this to happen in season and long-term view? How does this impact Kansas when it comes to getting the talent that they usually get?
Yeah, like I said, I don't think they'll find out what their penalty is until after this upcoming year. But, you know, as far as the scholarship go, my reading of it is it's one scholarship per year for 3 years.
Got it.
So that would take them from 13 to 12, which really in the you know, big scheme of things, like that's not that big a deal. Like, 13 is too many to begin with. Trying to keep 13 guys happy is not easy. So, you know, I think it might be smart for every school not to use all 13 of their scholarships. So, like, in the big scheme of things, like, are any of these penalties really going to hurt Kansas that much? They already took Curtis Townsend and Bill Self off the road recruiting this past summer and spring, and they still signed three pretty good players, or not signed them yet, but have commitments from three pretty good players. And, you know, I don't think it's anything that's going to hurt Kansas that much if this is what the penalties are. Like, you know, yeah, it's not great to Bill Self not be able to coach the first four games, not be able to coach against Duke. I'm sure he'd like to do that. But, you know, they're really in not very consequential games here at the beginning. So if this is all Kansas has to deal with, just these self-imposed penalties, right, you know, they would be more than happy.
Is this really enough? Because like you're saying there, these games necessarily, like the Duke game matters because that's what I picture is the first kickoff to the basketball season, or just like making people aware that basketball is happening. But in the grand scheme of things, most of these games are just like, all right, let's just get tuned up. They don't exactly have a real consequence on Kansas's season or goal. Like, is this enough what they're doing? Like, does the NCAA, do you think that would actually change their decision and say, you know what, they did this, will go less harsh on them? Do you think it has any impact on that?
I mean, I think that they'll at least consider what they've done and you know, try to decide if that's enough or not. But you have to remember, it's not the NCAA that's, you know, citing this. It's the AIRP, who has only, you know, resolved two cases so far, the Memphis one and the NC State one. and they weren't. The NC State one had some parallels. Memphis one obviously did not. So it's so hard to say like how this committee is going to handle this. Just because like with the NCAA, we have, you know, a ton of past results and we can look and see, okay, here's what they did to this school. Here's what they did to this school. And sometimes there's no rhyme or reason for that anyway. So it's almost hard to say. So to sit here and tell you, like, I know like this, oh, they're going to be good with this, or they're not going to be, I don't really, or the IRP is going to be good with it or not. I don't really know. I mean, I'm pretty much finished with trying to like predict these things, but the one important thing here to remember is, we have this in our story that's up on The Athletic now. Mm-hmm. I'll read you from right from under the NCAA penalty structure, a head coach charged with a level one or level two penalty can be suspended anywhere from 10% to an entire season, 10% of the games to an entire season. So four games is the equivalent of 10% if Kansas were to play the maximum number of games this upcoming season. So that's basically, you know, probably where they got that decided on that four games number.
Yeah, when you're done listening to the podcast, go read that article. You and Dane O'Neill do a great job covering basketball for The Athletic. I love reading your guys' work. So this happened in 2017, or the NCAA case in 2017. It's now 2022. And I would say the landscape of college basketball and college athletics as a whole has changed a little bit, actually a lot of it. Here's NIL. Here's all these different rules that are happening that, you know, pay for play still isn't legal, or any of that is legal, but I think things are a lot more lax, or a lot more lesser. It basically is legal, just in a different way. You just put NIL in front of it. But
yeah,
do you think because of these rules and changes to college athletics as a whole, do you think that has any impact on what the severity of the punishment would be against Kansas?
I mean, it's all about the people in that room and how they feel about it, right? Like, you would think this influences them some. Like, you know, if this were today and Kansas had done, you know, had the stuff happen that happened back then, like, it really would not be that big a deal, because again, you can play players but you know, they do have to look at it. Okay, this was under the old rules. Here's how we applied it. Yada yada yada. I do think they'll probably lean towards, these were the rules then, this is how we apply them. But you would think, I mean, everybody's human. Like, you would think what's upcoming is part of their judgment. But again, I can't speak to what those people in that room are going to do, because I don't think anybody knows.
I know you didn't get into college basketball to cover this type of stuff. It is
I'm a basketball nerd, so this is stuff for lawyers, right?
Right, exactly. One more Kansas question, then we can talk about what they actually do on the court. Do you think this impacts Bill Self's legacy at all, or any type of cloud over it? Because he wins number two. I think everyone can agree he is one of the best coaches in college basketball history. But it seems like this thing has always been floating over Kansas's head. Do you think this has an impact or any on Bill Self's legacy?
I mean, I lean more no, but it'll all, you know, it depends on who's telling the story. It depends on your perspective, and some people will always bring it up. Some people will really care less. So, I mean, you can make the argument that he won this national title, this most recent one, and in some ways benefiting from the penalties, because what he's always done, but like, you look at the players that are involved in this stuff, the Billy Prestons, the Josh Jackson, I guess, is maybe the one that did help them. The Cheick Diallos, those sorts of guys, any guys they've had controversy around, Cliff Alexander, that kind of stuff, like, those one and done guys haven't really helped them. Like, they've been way better working with the, you know, little bit under the radar guys and developing them and turning them into great players. So the fact they kind of had to steer away from those players for a little bit and recruit the Ochai Agbajis of the world. Like, does Ochai Agbaji even go to Kansas if all this stuff is not happening? Maybe not. So, I think in some ways, like just like with North Carolina, in their case back in the day, like it almost benefited them, and you know, to recruit in that sort of way. So, but yeah, the larger question, does it affect his legacy? To me, not that much.
I agree. Let's move on from this, because I think Kansas is a really interesting basketball team this season. And one player that you've dived into that I'm intrigued to watch because he is this touted recruit is Grady Dick. And they lose Ochai Agbaji. They lose Christian Brown. They lose a lot of their scoring. How much is going to be put on Grady Dick this season, and how good is he?
I don't think a ton is going to be put on him. I think it's very possible he starts next to Jalen Wilson and Kevin McCuller, and like, you know, kind of the one of three wings, playing three big wings like they did last year. I think, you know, his biggest role is going to be to make shots and stretch the floor. And how much he plays and how big a role he has is probably determined, like, hey, can he defend well enough to stay on the floor? You know, Bill Self is always going to want you to be able to play some defense. So that's something to watch here the first month of the season, like how he hangs on the defensive end of the floor, and does he make shots? He's going to have to make shots to, like, you know, be out there and be a weapon. But he's a guy that can, you know, if he's shooting it well, like he's got an elite stroke. He's got good size. He's like 6'8", 6'7", 6'8". He's a tall kid. And you know, to have somebody that tall, that's really a big time knockdown shooter. That's huge. And I think early in his career, like, that'll be kind of his role. It could be kind of like a Christian Brown, journey where, you know, right, as a freshman, CB was just kind of your space the floor knockdown guy. And he did a little bit more every year as his career went on. I don't know that he's the defensive, I don't know they'll ever be as good a defender or loose ball guy as a CB, but as far as like career arc, it could kind of be similar.
So it's interesting about this team because stylistically, I think they look a little bit different than past years. They don't necessarily have the big that they usually have. Like, they lose David McCormick. They don't have Doak anymore. Joel Embiid is well in the NBA. But this team looks a lot different because I don't know exactly who the big of this team is. Like, stylistically, how much different will Kansas basketball be than last year?
You don't know. Bill Self doesn't know, and that's probably his biggest frustration.
Oh, gosh.
Is he wants to figure out who that guy is going to be and how they're going to piece that together. And I was just with him on Monday this week, and you know, I still don't think he has an idea. You know, I think he probably has an idea, but right, like, he's still not comfortable with how that's going to shake out. And I do think they're going to play different. I don't think they're still going to throw it in the post and try to play, you know, create angles and that kind of stuff. But I don't think they'll do it nearly as much as they have in the past. I think you're going to see more trying to get, you know, Kevin McCuller, Jalen Wilson, DeJuan Harris, Joseph Yesufu, those guys driving downhill, creating angles for them to get to the basket, trying to get your baskets off, you know, dribble drives, ball screen, pick and roll, that kind of stuff, which they've done in the past, and they did a lot last year. But you know, they were always going to throw it a lot to the post too, and try to play off that. And I think, like I said, they'll still do a little bit of that, but I think they'll do way less of it, especially unless some, you know, somebody emerges as a true low post threat. And that, so far in the practices and stuff, I don't think anybody's done that.
When it comes to the league as a whole, I don't really see a big man just outside of Kansas. I don't see a big man who can really dominate as well. Why is this league so guard heavy? And like, is it just because in basketball, there's not necessarily a big that can be the dominant force? Or why exactly has this league turned so guard heavy? It's been very strange over the past couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's always cyclical, right? Like, if you look at college basketball as a whole, like, this is the year of the big men. Like, a lot of the best teams have dominant,
right,
low post traditional big men. And I actually think, if you're like, if I'm a college coach right now and I'm looking at the game and where it's going to go, sure, basketball is going away from post ups, but college basketball is not necessarily going away from post ups. And the NBA is not interested in a, in like a Zach Eady or a, or Armando Bacot, you know, those types of players, Oscar Tshiebwe, like they don't have a ton of appeal in the NBA, but they do in college. So if I'm a college coach, like I'm trying to get some of those guys that 15 years ago would have probably left early because they were dominant at the college level, but now they're going to stick around a little while and NIL can help you help them stick around. Right. So I'm looking for those guys. I just think that Baylor, for instance, is rarely going to play that way. Right. Playing through a big guy. Kansas is, but they just haven't, you know, maybe one of these freshmen emerges as that, whether this year or down the road. The one team in the Big 12, I think, that might play a lot through the post is Texas with Trey Mitchell that was at Texas last year.
Yep.
West Virginia transfer. He's like the one true kind of back to the basket guy you'll see. But yeah, I just think it's just kind of coincidence that none of the Big 12 teams have that. TCU has it a little bit in their big fella, but still they're more guard centric. So, I don't think it's like because of where basketball is going. Texas Tech went and got, a true low post back to the basket guy. And
I think it might be the only one in the entire Big 12, which would be intriguing to watch stylistically.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's hurt for a while and they're super thrilled with how the big fellow Arizona transfer has progressed. So, we'll see. But I think, we could look 2-3 years from now and maybe the Big 12 has like four of those guys. I just think it's coincidental that this year there's not a lot of them.
Last one. Besides Baylor and Kansas, what team do you think has a realistic shot to win the Big 12 this season?
TCU would be my pick just because – I think continuity matters and having so many guys back from a pretty good team really, really matters. And you'll see that I think early in the year, I know they smoked Alabama in a secret scrimmage, one of the more impressive, I think, secret scrimmage performances, just talking to coaches. But that's probably one for me. Texas is number two at KenPom and that kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. I love some of their pieces. I don't know how they fit together. We'll see, but TCU and Texas are the two schools that I think could compete for it. But if you're, just ask me for one, I think I'd lean TCU as a school that I think has a legitimate chance to win the league.
CJ, I can't thank you enough on a day like today with the madness that went on to have your help and to help me guide through this and the people who are listening at home guide me through this. CJ Moore, you can follow him at Twitter, CJ Moore Hoops. With The Athletic. He does great work over there. CJ, I appreciate you so much, and thank you.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Whew. That was quite the episode. Jam-packed, and I can't believe it. But Big 12 basketball starts on Monday. I have to get my mind around it. You do, too. It's here. And it's not just news and headlines. Basketball will be played on the floor. On Monday, we will preview the entire season, who I have winning each award, all of that good stuff. And if you haven't, please subscribe, rate 5 stars, follow me on Twitter, @TheTriannoKid. I've had a lot of fun doing this. I'm going to get better at this, but please just believe in me. Believe in me, please. But until the next episode, I'm out. Peace.
Podcast Network.